I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Over the weekend, I found myself 3 miles offshore on an island, on a kayak, and a windstorm was rolling in. And as I was kind of making my way back to land, I got to thinking about the conversation we had last week about, you know, about building your business and how can you know if you're on the right track and what are some ways to go about figuring out if you're on the right path or not. And so I wanted to kind of follow up on that today because I know a lot of people are wondering, like, hey, do I have the right skills and the right strategy and the right plan? And is my mindset really dialed in? Like all the stuff that we were talking about last week. And I wanted to kind of go over that again with you guys because it's such a critical thing because you don't want to be spinning your wheels, wasting your time, and you know, just pushing against a wall that's not going to move. And instead, what you want to do is make sure that you're on the right path so as you invest your time and energy into it, you're actually making progress in the right direction. So basically, here's what happened. So it was a beautiful day. So this for the 4th of July, my family and I, we went out to basically like the Chesapeake Bay area. And we were, you know, there's this little island that's about 3 miles off the coast, and it's just kind of, it's not even an island, it's just like a blip in the water. It's like, it's super small, it's like there's no houses, there's no buildings, there's no anything, you can walk across the whole thing in like 15 minutes. It's just like a sandbar almost. And, but it's beautiful to be there because you're looking out over like 11 miles of open water right at the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. And when I left, so I got in a kayak, and I left to go to this island, and there was sunny skies, light winds, great conditions, not too hot, not too cold, it was perfect, but it takes a while to get out there, you know, it's probably an hour's paddle from, you know, where you start to where you actually hit the island, you know, going maybe 3 miles an hour, it's about 3 miles away, and so I get to the island, and everything's going great, and I kind of, you know, pulled the kayak up onto the shore, and I start to walk around a little bit, and like, this is a place that I've been going for a long time, like, you know, since I was just a kid, like, I used to go to this little island, and so I was really familiar with the area, and one of the things that I like to do is I like to get off the kayak and like, throw some rocks around, because there are all these rocks and, like, sea glasses there. It's like this little oasis, right, kind of at the mouth of the bay, like, you know, way off the coast, so there's nobody around. And so I was kind of fiddling around, and then I began to feel the wind picking up, and then the skies got dark, and then, you know, white caps start rolling in, and I'm thinking, oh man, because this is gonna be a problem, because, you know, I had two choices. I could either get back in the kayak and make my way back home, and, you know, and try to get back as soon as I could, or I could kind of wait for the windstorm to blow over, and, you know, but who knows how long that's going to last, and what if it gets dark, because it was already, like, well, like maybe 5 o'clock at night or so, and so, like, what if I wait and it gets dark, and then everybody back home starts worrying and things like that. So what I decided to do is just go ahead and just, you know, fight the wind back and head on back. But it was an interesting thing because a couple of things came to mind. Because, like, when you're way out there in the water like that and there's no near landmarks or anything, like, you can be paddling and paddling and you can't really tell if you're moving. Like, there's no easy way to gauge whether you're going anywhere or not. I mean, it feels like you are because you're paddling and everything, but you don't see anything going by you because you're way the heck out there. You can't really see anything. So all of that is to say that, you know, here I am out there kind of, you know, fighting through the wind and the waves and trying to make my way back home. And I started thinking about what we were talking about last week. And there's like three things to know whether or not you're on the right track. So like the first thing that we talked about last week was, do you have the skills that it takes to really develop a website, to, you know, to build something that's going to create outcomes for your clients? And as I was beginning to think about that, I was like, you know, you kind of get yourself maybe a mile off the island, 2 miles from the house, you're way out in the middle of the water, and I begin to think, well, man, do I have the skills that it takes to actually get back to shore, right? And so, like, do I have confidence in my tools was one of the big questions. Like, for example, is the paddle going to hold up? Is the kayak going to make it? Because the waves are freaking huge. The waves are significantly taller than the kayak way out in the water like that. And so, And so I'm like, are my tools going to hold up? And I felt super 100% confident that they would. And yeah, I've been using for a long time. I know how to do it. I'm, you know, pretty good at this whole kayaking thing. And so I had a lot of confidence in my tools. And that made me think back to, like, do you have confidence in the tools that you're using for your clients? Like, you know, is that something that you kind of need to polish up? Or do you feel really good about all of that? And those two areas of tools that we talked about, like, can you build a solid website? And can you put the business tools in place that really drive outcomes for your clients? So that not only do they have something that looks great, but it also performs well. It drives traffic, it brings in revenue, it does something for their business. And do you have confidence in those tools? And that's kind of the first question. And so the way that I was relating that back in my mind as I'm making my way across the Chesapeake Bay was like, you know, do I know how to paddle? Like, do I have confidence in my ability to do the paddling? And that was, you know, that's a big deal because when you're paddling, you've got to know how to do that. Like, if you're just paddling with your arms, you tire out like that. I mean, you're not going to make it. You have to learn how to use your core muscles to actually propel yourself through the water so that you have the endurance to actually make it. But the first part is, like, to have the skills to pull it off. Like, do you have the right technique? Have you put in the training to be able to actually succeed when it really counts? And that's a big question because, like, you need to have the technical skills to implement, like, a solid and reliable website, but you also need the technical skills to build, like, the business marketing tools and to drive results for your clients. And you also need to have the confidence that says, hey, you know what? I'm really doing something here. This is going to work out because I have confidence in my ability to pull all this stuff together. And so that's kind of like the first thing that crossed my mind as I'm paddling around. I had a lot of time to think about things. But then the second thing that came to mind was the strategy. Because, like, you can't very easily just plow straight forward into the wind. Because when I left the island, the wind was pretty much head on, like straight in my face. And the problem with that, there's a couple problems, but one of the big problems is the space between the peaks of the waves compared to the length of the kayak that I was in was such that if you were to drive straight into the waves, the water would, like, swamp the front of the kayak, like, all every time. And you don't, obviously you don't want that. And so, but at the same time, if you go just sideways, like 90 degrees to the oncoming waves, then you roll and you don't want that either. So the best thing to do is in a situation like this is to kind of go, you know, partly into, like, 45 degrees, like a little bit into the wind, and almost like a sailboat and sort of tack back and forth, because that way you can actually ride up over the waves and back down. You're not fighting the wind head on, and you can really make forward progress like that, and without swamping the boat, without fatiguing yourself too much. And it's the strategy. And so it occurred to me, you're like, hey, okay, I've got confidence in my skills and my techniques, but do I have the right strategy? Like, am I paddling in the right direction in order to feel like I'm going to make it back, right? That's, like, the big question. And that immediately brought to mind the strategy with your business. Like, do you have the right strategy in place to make sure that the price point's right, that you're in control of generating your own leads, that when you do generate the leads, it's actually for qualified potential clients who have the budget and the mindset to work with you on what you're really presenting, what you're really offering. So you're not just selling, like, $500 websites, but you're actually selling $5,000 sites. And on top of that, you've got the strategy in place to get the business structure that you want, where you have that ongoing revenue coming in. And so, you know, those are some big issues. But on top of that, what about being able to adapt to changes in conditions? Because when I first left, you know, and started heading out to this island, the conditions were great. You know, it was an ideal, wonderful 5th of July. It was the day after the 4th of July. It was, like, Friday day where you could just do whatever you want. But then when the conditions change, you have to adapt. And do you feel like that you have the strategy in place to make that adaptation right now for your business? Because if you've been in the business where you're kind of taking on like outsourced projects from, like, agencies, you're going to find that that's going to begin to dry up, and that's drying up right now. And if it's not drying up, it's shrinking in terms of its, you know, the kind of revenue that you can generate from those ad agencies, because their price points are shrinking because the implementation of these technical skill sets is getting cheaper and cheaper over time. And so all of that is to say that, you know, if you're noticing that your leads and the type of work that you're getting from agencies is drying up, that's like a change in conditions. And can you adapt to that? Or are you finding that you used to be able to sell websites at a much higher price, but now because Wix is out there and Weebly and Squarespace and Upwork and Fiverr and even Craigslist and like all these other places are out there, that you're finding like clients, when they start talking to you, their mindset is basically thinking that, you know, a website's like $500, maybe less, maybe free even. You know, maybe they could build it themselves. And can you adapt to those changes in conditions to make sure that that you stay alive, that you stay afloat, so to speak? And so and so that's like a really big issue. Kind of like when, you know, when the waves and the water and the wind and all that changed, like, did I have the strategy in place to be able to adapt to those changes in conditions to make sure that I can make it back? And do I have confidence in that strategy? Or was it, well, I just hope for the best? You know, you want to make sure you have confidence in the strategy. So it's not just willy-nilly changing things, but are you changing things properly? Like, are you doing something that's going to make things better? Or maybe are you making things worse? You know, so how do you know what the deal is with that? That's a really big issue, to have the strategy in place to make sure that as changes in conditions occur, as changes in the economy occurs, as changes in your skill sets take place, you know, all of those things, how do you know if you're going in the right direction? And that's a really big point to make. And so, and then the third thing that came to mind was the mindset. And this is again, like last week when we were talking about this, this was the thing that I said was the most critical component. And it really, really is, because you can have the skills, you can have the strategy, you can have everything in place, but if you don't believe it's going to work out, then you end up having failures in a variety of different ways. So like you tend to like freak out. Like, are you going to freak out and panic if something bad happens? Like if you happen to get like a high stress client and something bad happens, is that enough to like shake your whole mindset to say, hey, this isn't going to work out? Or maybe you meet with like, you know, five or six people and none of those people turn out to be really ideal clients for you. Is that the kind of thing that's going to shake you and be like, well, you know, this is never going to work out, I'm going to give up now? Or do you have the mindset to say, hey, you know what, I just need to dial this in a little bit more? And so here's another one too. And then we talked about this last week, and this really jumped out to me when I was paddling back, which was, do you have to see the results first in order to believe that you're going in the right direction? And the reason that jumped out to me is because, like, literally when you're out in the water and almost everything you see is nothing but water, like there's nothing going by you, and you're paddling as hard as you can, and you're like, is this working? Like, you can't tell. You literally can't tell if you're really moving. I mean, from time to time, I guess you can kind of look back and, you know, see how far the island is behind you, whatever. And I guess you kind of get a sense sort of from that you're kind of doing something. But there's no immediate feedback as to whether or not, you know, the wind is winning and pushing you back, or whether you're being victorious over the elements and actually making progress in the right direction. You have to believe in your skills and in your strategy. You have to, otherwise you give up. Another thing is, you have to have the mental endurance to keep putting the paddle in the water. Even though you're not seeing any immediate progress with each individual stroke, you know that progress is being made because you have confidence in your skills. Like, you, like, I know how to paddle a kayak. I've been doing it for like 20 years. I know about the waves, and I know about the wind and the conditions. I know how the water works in this area because I've been going there since I was a little kid. You know, like, I know how to deal with head-on winds versus side winds. I know how to not swamp the kayak. I know how to not roll the kayak. If it does swamp or whatever, I know how to get the water out. So, like, I have all of the skills and strategy to know how to keep moving forward, but I'm not seeing any immediate results. Like, every time I push the paddle through the water, I'm not feeling like I'm any further or any closer than I was before, even though it's hard, even though I'm putting effort into it, even though it's tiring. Like, all of these things, all of these negative things, all of the feedback is negative feedback. You know, it's tiring. It's maybe a little scary. It's, you know, you're not feeling like you're making the progress that you want. You see that you've got, you know, significant odds ahead of you. You've got all of these waves and they don't seem to stop, and the wind seems to keep getting stronger. Do you keep putting the paddle in the water? Like, do you keep it going time after time after time? And what is driving that? Like, where are you finding the energy to keep putting the paddle in the water? Are you doing it just out of raw just desire to do it? Because if that's what it is, what if you're paddling in the wrong direction? Or what if you're not going hard enough? What if you don't have confidence in the skills? What if you don't have confidence in the strategy? Like, you know, what if you're literally going head on into the wind and like every time you go forward, you're swamping your boat and then you got to get the water out. And while you're getting the water out, you're losing forward progress. And then you try to get back to where you were and you swamp it again and then you lose forward progress when you're bailing the boat. Like, what happens if that's the case? You know, you don't want to just be putting all of this energy into your business when you're actually losing progress, right? And when you're actually like going the wrong way, even though you're trying to like go in the right direction, there's so many things pushing against you. Like, that's a big issue. That's where mindset really comes in. And you have to have confidence in the fact that, hey, you know what? You really do deliver something that's powerful for your clients. And you have the strategy to actually find the right clients that are looking for the types of things that you can do. So skills and strategy are really there, but mindset is critical. You have to keep putting the paddle in the water, even when it doesn't feel like you're making progress, because you have a firm belief in your skills and in your strategy, which are actually what drives you forward. But if you don't have all three of those things together, then everything falls apart. Like, you can't make that happen. And so here I am thinking about all of these things, you know, as I'm making my way back, you know, back to land or whatever. And it was such a beautiful merging of everything that we talked about last week that I really wanted to come and share this with you guys today, because the things that can really derail you are those exact three things. And I thought that kayaking analogy was really powerful, because again, the first thing, like if you're questioning, you know, what is it that I can do for clients? Like, I'm really good at, you know, graphic design. You know, I can make, you know, I can even code a theme from scratch if I need to. But like, what happens after that? Like, you know, once you launch the site, like, what skills do I need to really help my clients, to actually help them generate business for themselves? You know, like those types of skills. Like, if you're wondering, like, what can I do? That's a really big question. It's a big question for two reasons. The first reason is, if you're going to charge a premium price for your work, like if you're going to be charging at least, you know, so I like to say a minimum of $3,000 up to like $10,000 tends to be the range for that initial build out of all the things, which is the website, the copy, the graphic design work that's involved, you know, like logos and stuff, you know, social media, you know, accounts, you know, branding, all of that, setting up email marketing, you know, maybe building a couple of landing pages, or doing something to get the tools in place to really be effective once the site is launched. And it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff that goes involved, gets involved with all of that. It'll probably take you about 6 weeks. And so you want to charge at least $3,000 up to $10,000 to pull all of that stuff together. And, you know, that's a big thing. And so if you're wondering, well, what do I do? Like, what do I put into the mix that's going to get the value up that high? You know, that's where the technical skills come into place. It's both the technical skills to build a website, but also the technical skills to implement the business tools that you're about to start using. You know, there's obviously technical capabilities involved in even something simple, like even like, you know, connecting like you know, some sort of a stats package, you know, whatever you use, like Google Analytics or Clicky or whatever you're putting on there. You know how to do those snippets, or if you're doing Facebook ads, you got to know how to put the pixel in place so you can track all that stuff. Or if you're doing email marketing and you want to start building an email list, you got to know how to like technically hook up the sign up form and the lead magnet and deliver some kind of an ebook, or maybe some kind of a whatever it is that you deliver when people sign up. You know, you got to technically be able to implement all that, but just doing that's not enough. That's the next step, then, is becomes the strategy. Okay, now that you've got that stuff in place, then what do you do with it? Like, how do you, like, okay, great, you're building an email list, but what do you say to the people in the emails, and how often do you send it, and what's the pattern for that, and what's the offer, and like, how do you write the copy for that, and, you know, whatever you're doing, or what, maybe email marketing's not even a good fit for your client, but are you putting that stuff on the site anyway, because that's just what you know? Like, say, for example, what if you're working with like a moving company, where email marketing is probably not the most effective use of your time, because a lot of times moving companies don't have repeat clients. Like, they move people too far away to be a repeat client. Or education tends not to be a big issue with like a moving company. Like, who needs education with regard to moving? It's like a pretty self-explanatory thing. Whereas if you're working with like a health coach or a relationship coach or anybody who does anything that's kind of unique or different, well, then maybe some education and automating those and nurturing those leads is something big. And so that's the big thing. It's like, do you have the right strategy? Like, are you putting the tools in place, and are you using them with the right strategy so that you know that you're making the progress in the right direction on behalf of your client. And that's like a huge thing. So if you're wondering, well, I don't know if I have the right strategy, I'm not really sure how to put that together, I'd really like to get into that, because right now what I'm doing is pretty much just kind of building websites. It's not really performing at the level I want. I want to move into the situation where I'm doing two things, where you're building the website and using the website to really drive results for your clients. That's the strategy component. And then the third thing is the mindset. It's like, do you kind of wonder whether or not this is going to work out? And like, do you have to be seeing results? Like one of the things we talked about last week was, if you have to see like successful results before you feel confident in yourself or in your business or in your offer, then you're going to have a slow forward progress. Maybe no progress at all, because you don't want your confidence and your mindset to be founded on things external from you. Like, you don't want to have a situation where, okay, I'll believe that I can sell a $5,000 website, you know, after I get, four or five clients on board at that level. You know, the problem with that is, if whatever it is that's kind of supporting you and giving you the encouragement to continue to move forward is external from you, what happens when the conditions change? Or what happens if you just happen to land upon a lead that's not going to be the perfect fit for you? You know, are you going to allow that one little thing to derail your entire business? Or do you have the mindset to overcome that? And that's a really big issue. In the same way, like if the wind had started coming up when I was on the island, I was like, oh, shucks, I don't know how to deal with a windy situation. I'm just going to sit here and wait. How long is the wind going to keep going? Like, and can I make it back? Like, what happens if I have to spend the night by myself on the island? You know, those are the kinds of things where you need to say, hey, you know, I know how to adapt. I know how to focus. I know how to actually keep paddling, even though I don't see the forward progress stroke by stroke. The reason that I had the desire and the mental strength to continue to paddle is because I had confidence in my skills. I know how to paddle. I was 100% confident that I was beating the wind. Like, even though the wind was probably going maybe 20 miles an hour, it's a significant wind, especially when you're on the water like that. You know, I knew for a fact that I was beating the wind because I had confidence in my skills. I had done it before. Like, I know what was going on. It's something that, like, I know my kayak can handle it. I know I've got a paddle that can do it. I'm strong enough to pull it together. And I've got the right strategy where I'm not just swamping my boat every single time a wave comes. I know how to go over the waves without swamping. And so, therefore, I can keep putting the stroke-by-stroke effort into it, knowing that I'm actually making progress in the right direction, that I'm going to be successful because I have confidence in the skills and the strategy. And that's where the mindset comes in, because if you don't have that and you're just thinking, well, I don't know if this is going to work out, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to get frustrated. And when you're on the brink of giving up and when you're feeling frustrated all the time and you're not feeling confident, how are you going to show up at a client meeting if those are the thoughts that you're entertaining in your mind? Like, how are you going to instill confidence in someone else to work with you if you don't even have confidence in yourself? You can't give away to somebody something that you don't already have. So that's why mindset is so critical. And you don't have to fake it. I'm not suggesting to, like, you know, rub your hands together and do or rub the genie or whatever, like Aladdin, and like poof, you know, now I'm faking the confidence. Instead, what we're doing is you're getting yourself into a community of people who are doing what you want. You're getting yourself connected with people who can answer questions that you have. You're getting yourself in a situation where if you have questions about what tools to use or how to orchestrate them, or, you know, what prices to charge or how to write proposals or how do you meet with your clients in a way that enables you to shift their mindset away from just buying like a cheap website into really investing in their business and developing a long-term relationship with you. You know, like, the way that you can have confidence in all of that is surround yourself with people doing that very thing. And that's the whole point. That's like the reason that I put DoubleStack together. One of the main things is to get you into a community where you're surrounded with people doing exactly that thing. And that does two great things for you. The first thing it does is it opens your eyes to the fact, oh yeah, people can actually do this. This really is possible. You know, like, I'm seeing, like, somebody, you know, will post a win, and we have a private Facebook group that we use to communicate amongst ourselves just as the Double Stackers. And like, somebody will post a win in there and, you know, score like a $12,000 project or a $40,000 project or whatever it might be. And we all like to celebrate that together. That's really fun. And it opens your eyes to the fact that, wow, you know, people really are doing this. And so, you know, that's huge, just to be part of that community, to say, hey, you know, this is great. You know, and it's difficult to find a community like that too. Even if you're going to like WordCamps or meetup groups or other places like that, most of the time, the people in those groups are selling $500 websites. Like, I go to a lot of WordCamps, and people will say that's kind of what their business is. And so, like, if you surround yourself with that type of an audience or a community, then your mindset sort of begins to kind of shrink down to, well, yeah, I guess, you know, WordPress sites are cheap. I guess, you know, we really do need to figure out how to sell $500 sites or whatever, as opposed to, hey, you know, let's get you into a community where not only are we selling vastly more valuable projects, but we're doing it in a way that makes, that's really serving our clients in a deeper way, in a way that actually generates revenue and business for them. You know, that's the we're not just ramping up our prices, we're fundamentally changing what we're offering to do. And so so reason number one is it puts you in that community where you can see that it's possible. And then reason number two is it's inspirational. Like, you begin to say, oh, well, how do they get, you know, how did they get that type of a client? Are there really clients like that? How are they doing it? How are they running the meetings? Like, what are they doing to kind of get their price points? Like, what do their proposals look like? You know, all of that stuff. And then you're like, well, shucks, you know what? I've got the layout for all of that stuff right here. And so then it becomes inspirational for you to actually do more and actually make progress in that direction. And so that's the key to the whole mindset shift, is to surround yourself with a community that's going to support you, that's going to give you the resources that you need, the assets that you need, the skills, the concepts that somebody can come alongside and kind of help you kind of break through things that might have otherwise been holding you back, so that when the conditions change, when the wind comes up, when you can't see that progress with every single stroke of the paddle, you still know that you're going in the right direction. So that's the big shift there. Oh, look at all these comments. I got all carried away with the story. Let me check out these comments real quick. So Joni, I'm sorry to hear that you're in the hospital. I hope you're doing okay. She says, I would die with the paddle in my hand, 2 feet from the shore and 4 inches of water as things are right now. Yeah, well, I hope you feel better. I hope it's not too big of an issue and you get back on track really quickly. I don't see the point in trying to do everything myself. And if I have to farm out things like SEO and social media to someone else and pay them, what is the point? So I still don't understand this business model, I guess. Just like there are lawyers who specialize in certain kinds of law and doctors who specialize in certain kinds of medicine, I want to specialize in or depressed development, not any of the other things. Specialize in WordPress development. Right. So yeah, that's a good point. So the point that I think Joni might be hitting at here is that, which is true, you don't have to do all of the things. Like, for example, if you're going to put like SEO or some sort of paid advertising into your proposals as to something that can really drive results for your clients, it's a great idea to bring on somebody who knows how to do that, as opposed to trying to learn how to do every single thing yourself. So, for example, like just like Facebook ads, for example, Facebook ads are really, really complicated to do well. And the reason that it's complicated is because there's so many different kinds of ads and products and audiences that you want to try to reach. For example, you might be working with somebody who really wants to reach like a local audience, like just like people that can drive physically to your client's, you know, facility or business. And that's really different from like a nationwide type of an audience where like anybody who is within the whole country can, you know, maybe you have something kind of online or maybe even international. Like maybe you've got something like, you know, like Card 66 or whatever, where like anybody in any part of the world can use it, and it's a digital product. And you know, and so that changes. Like, if you're going to advertise on Facebook for that, so like the scope of the audience changes. Another thing that changes dramatically is what is getting a lead mean? Like, how much revenue comes to you if you get a lead, because that determines what you can pay per click. And so like if you're selling something inexpensive, then you know, you go through a very different strategy than if you're selling something that's kind of pricey. And so, you know, all of that kind of plays into, you know, how you run these and orchestrate these campaigns. And then on top of that, you got to then write the ads that appeal to those people. And then you have to compete with the, you know, there's competition out there. Basically, the point that I'm making is just running Facebook ads is something that you can devote your entire career to. And so like, if you're going to add, you know, like a Facebook ad campaign into the mix, then you're going to want to bring somebody in who's an expert in that. And I think the same thing also applies to SEO, but in a different way. Like, search engine optimization is one of those things where there's a lot of effort that goes into it. Now, there's also strategy too. You know, they have to make sure that you've dialed in the right keywords and that you've got the, you know, a consistent flow of content coming out and that it's resonating with the right people, and you're getting link building in the mix, and there's a lot of strategy behind it. But there's also just a lot of manual labor in actually creating the content to do SEO. And there's and you know, the algorithms are changing all the time, and in my opinion, you don't really even want to focus too heavily on the algorithms, because the point of the algorithms is to make it so that people that write great content always rise to the top. So if you're writing to the algorithm rather than to the, you know, to the reader, then a shift in the algorithms can wreck your site. And I see that all the time. But anyway, the point is, you know, work with an SEO company, like bring somebody in that's an expert in that knows the ins and outs and has the ability to create the right content and can do all of that, because it takes a lot of time to create that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, there's plenty of things that you can do on your own that you don't have to be like a full-time marketing expert in. In fact, you know, I would say there's probably well over a dozen types of things that you can do, you know, especially with regard to like email marketing, like helping people, you know, get like a sales funnel in place for themselves, or like drip campaigns to kind of automate lead nurturing, you know, helping people with, you know, their brand's visibility online, things like that. There's all kinds of things that you can be doing that I can show you in the course of maybe an hour or an hour and a half or so, a variety of different like business tools and platforms that you can become an expert in, because the learning curve is very shallow and the results are huge. And those are things that you can bundle into your proposals already. And again, the strategy that I work with people to do is like have that initial marketing budget be somewhere in the vicinity of about 10 hours per month, which is like 2.5 hours per week. So we're not looking to work 40 hours per week full time for your clients. You're looking at about 10 hours per month, which is like 2.5 hours per week. And then get a client on board. You know, you charge like $85 an hour, and you're bringing in like $850 per month with that kind of starting point with your client. And the cool thing about that is that gives you the ability to really drive results for the people that you're working with, because you're there to keep doing things. You're not just kind of, you know, setting it and then forgetting it and moving on to the next client, but you're actually using the tools that you built in the first place. It's not a huge investment for your clients, under $1,000 a month. And, you know, where else are they going to invest where they can get that degree of bang for the buck? And so there's that. And then, you know, on top of all of it, it's like you don't, it's over $10,000 per year. Like if you have that $850 per month coming in for 12 months, it's like $10,200. And so get yourself 5 clients like that. Now you're making over $50,000 a year coming in. You're working 2.5 hours a day, like 5 days a week. So it's not overwhelming in terms of the time commitment. And if you've got, you know, full-time hours to kind of deploy on this, like if this is your full-time business, what if you had 10 clients at that level? Well, now you're making 6 figures. You're well into the $100,000 range. You're doing 5 billable hours per day, 5 days a week. So you still have nights and weekends open. And you're continuing to drive results for your clients. And what you're going to find is, as you begin to build this up, some of your clients are going to say, hey, you know what? I need more than 2.5 hours a week. You know, I want to do more things. Let's kind of ramp this up to the next level. And then, like, say you've got a client that says, hey, you know, I want, like, how about 10 hours per week? You know, that's still not even part-time. That's like 10 hours per week. But at the same time, it's worth, like, 4 clients before. So now you only need, like, 6 clients, and you can get to the point where you're making, you know, $100,000 a year just on those monthly retainers. We're not even counting the, the $3,000 to $10,000 build-out of all of that stuff, you know, in the beginning point. And again, everything that you put into the retainer is stuff that you can do on your own. Like, you don't have to devote like a full-time job to like learning SEO or learning Facebook ads or learning, you know, Twitter ads or Google ads or any of that other stuff. Those, you know, if you need those types of things, I would encourage you to outsource that, you know, bring somebody on as a subcontractor at first and use them and their expertise to add those types of things to the mix. But you don't have to even get started with those types of things, depending on who the client is. And this is one of the things where I begin to feel a little bit cautious in this environment where I'm speaking to over 1,000 people at the same time, because the industry makes a huge difference. Some industries need a lot of SEO work, other industries not so much. Like, I barely do any SEO work for DoubleStack at all, because I don't usually get clients searching for me like that. Same thing with like, you know, I don't know. There's just a variety of companies where a search engine out there, like, people aren't, like, for example, for your business, I bet you the types of clients that you want to be working with are not on the internet typing anything about how to build a website or how to market a website at all. So if you are in the business of trying to connect to companies that need a better website, and you think you're going to attract those leads by blogging and doing content marketing and advertising on Facebook and things like that to try to find businesses that want to like hire you to build their website, then you're going to find that it's a disappointing experience. And two things are going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen, the clients that you attract are going to be low budget, high stress clients who just want a super cheap website and then nitpick you and just stress you out and be incredibly demanding all the time. Those are the types of clients that you'll find when people just sort of find you cold off the internet through Facebook, through social media, whatever, or through SEO. And the types of clients you really want to be working with, like, you know, a lot of my clients are in the healthcare business, you know, like dietitians and naturopaths and got a heart doctor and even a neurosurgeon. So, you know, those types of people, or even people like, you know, people like selling like real estate and home builders and electricians and, you know, things like that. Most of the time, those people aren't on the internet searching for how to build a better website, how to do content marketing, how to do email marketing, whatever. You know, they're not searching for that kind of stuff. And if you're advertising in that space for clients who aren't there, then you're going to find that to be super frustrating. So that's the point. So the overall point is like, you don't necessarily have to invest heavily in paid ads or SEO, especially like if you're working with a client that's kind of in the same boat that you're in, where their clients aren't Googling around for their services. And instead you want to do more personal interactions. And so we can talk about that. So anyway, all that is to say, if you're wondering like what can you kind of put into the mix, like I'll show you like 15 or 20 things to add into the mix that don't require you to invest your entire life to become an expert in SEO or something like that. Just like small things that you can add into your proposals to really make a difference for your clients. And then if things grow and somebody needs, you know, help, you know, bring on subcontractors. On top of that, if things continue to grow, you can just spend more time doing the things you do know how to do. And so So yeah, there's an entire process that we can go through to really dial all of this stuff in. And if you want to like talk more about it in terms of your clients and your business and what you can be doing for the types of projects that you're really looking for, then, you know, let's get on the phone and talk about it. Like head over to doublestack.net/call and you're going to see a form where you can pick a time on my calendar and you and I will talk about all of these things so that we can really figure out like, where are your clients? What is the right price point for you? What type of work do you like working on? Like, how can we start generating leads proactively so that you don't have to just wait for referrals all the time? Like if you're in a situation where your business requires other people to send you referrals all the time, you're not in control of your lead flow. Therefore, you're not in control of your cash flow. And therefore, you're not really even in control of your whole business. Like what happens when the word of mouth referrals sort of dry up? Like what are you going to do to generate more of that? So what you need to do is be proactive and on the offense and go out and pursue the clients and generate leads on your own so that you can be in control of the type of work that you're doing, who you're working with, what you're charging. Those types of things are really important. And so if you want to learn how to do that, let's get on the phone and dial all that stuff in together so that we can actually get that happening for you. And if you happen to get some referrals in the process, you know, that's just icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself. So that's kind of the idea. So head over to doublestack.net/call. Let's get on the phone and talk about all of this stuff in the context of your specific business. So you and me will get on the phone for like 45 minutes and we'll talk about like, where are your leads coming from? Do you have confidence in your skills? Or maybe we can build some of those things up together. How do you feel about the strategy? Like, do you have recurring revenue coming in, or do you constantly have your revenue just kind of fall back to zero every time you launch a site? And then you've got the feast or famine problem that you need to overcome. So we can fix those issues. So anyway, head over to doublestack.net/call. You'll see my calendar pop up. You can pick a time that works well for you and we'll get on the phone for like 45 minutes to an hour for free and talk about all of those things. And then right after you pick the time, you can give me a link to your website. And I have a couple of questions about, you know, the kind of work that you're doing and things like that. So that when we get on the phone, I'll be super prepared and we can just really cram that hour with, you know, as much value as possible. So there we go, guys. Have a great week. It was great connecting in with you guys. I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July. And again, head over to doublestack.net/call if you want to talk. And we'll be catching up again next Tuesday. Meanwhile, if you have any questions or want to chime in later, it's great to just kind of give a high five. Boop. And then I'll keep an eye on all of that throughout the week. And we can keep the conversation going here. If you want to catch these sessions on the go, don't forget that we've got Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can get all this stuff as a podcast and catch it in the car or whatever. If you're in the car and you want to chime in live and participate, then head over to Building High Value WordPress Sites. It's a Facebook group, and it's free to join, and you can be here every Tuesday at 2 o'clock and interact in these live sessions. So awesome, guys. Great seeing you. Have a great week. And look forward to talking to you again.